What's going on, everybody? And hello, welcome to the show. Of course, it's your girl Nadia, and welcome to Nadia's World. So for this evening, I know I haven't been with you guys for a hot minute, but you know, forgive me. So we definitely have quite a little bit to catch into, so let's get started. So what in the weather has been going on? What in the weather has been going on here? I'm just going to come right out and say it. Now, for those who live on the East Coast, me, you always think that, or it's always been proven, that earthquakes have been linked and loaned in California, and you can say across our geo metro system. And you know that, you know, earthquakes hit other places too, especially if they're to the epicenter. Okay, not for nothing, we've always thought that, you know, earthquakes be landing over there on the West Coast and part of the region, which would be California, etc. But that's not the case. Okay, 13 years ago, New York was rocked. Was it a hurricane? No. We had one of them too, but we're not going to get into that. We've had 13 years ago an earthquake. Okay? That happened in August of 2011. Fast forward to now, a week ago, at 10:23 Eastern Standard Time. Okay? Get the time zones here. Eastern Standard Time. That's on the East Coast. Okay? We had a 4.8, you hear me, 4.8 hurricane. Why I keep saying hurricane? I don't know why. Earthquake. And it was not too close to the epicenter where it hit in Lebanon, New Jersey. Now, for most of you guys that don't know, Jersey and New York are like sister stations, okay? We like not even a cough away from each other, okay? Hit the I-95. You're driving downward. You're going to hit Jersey real quick. Hit that I-95 brick one time. You're going to get down. Now, if you travel upward, that's going up north and what? Okay, not western, eastern. You're going upward north to the north part. Not Canada. We talk about upper, like Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maine and them. Okay, you coming a little downward, sister, knock, knock, sister from another Mr. New Jersey, okay, hit that I-95, but anyway, yes, Lebanon, New Jersey happened to be where the earthquake paradigmed, and of course, they hit the sister station, that would be us. So, from earthquakes to the eclipse, far, low, and wide, and in between, the eclipse made its grand debut. Now, for most of us who are not science freaks, science geeks, not freaks, but science geeks, we didn't know the inevitable, but it was a sight to see. The eclipse did make its grandioso point from about the 2 o'clock point up until about maybe 4:30-ish, if I'm not mistaken. It was definitely an event to see, so hopefully everybody pretty much got their glasses to protect their eyes from that sun, because honey, it was beaming, okay? But it was nice to see, and like I said, for all those science geeks, this one was for you, and beyond that. So hopefully you got to see the glimpse of that, and it was a wonderful sighting. The next one that we have will be in 2044. That's a while off from now. I don't know how many years off, but yeah. So I was happy that I got to see it. So it was a sight, but you had to have them glasses on, because honey, ooh, it'd be a reckoning on the eyes. A reckoning. Okay. So we're jumping from what in the weather to now, of course, you know, I say this all the time. I have to be the bearer of bad news, but I gotta tell ya. So this week has been quite some few losses in the world of entertainment. So let us know. Okay. legend DJ, legendal DJ. Definitely a Brooklyn native, DJ Mr. C, passed away on Wednesday at the age of 57. It was announced by one of the stations that he did DJ previously. Well, actually, he DJs both of these New York City area stations. That's Hot 97 and 94.7 The Block, which are both located in the New York City tri-state area. He's pretty much featured as the main DJ on both stations. So unfortunately, the news came through Hot 97 that pretty much announced that he unfortunately passed. His reasoning for not being here was pretty much not explained at the particular time. He was 57. Football Hall of Famer and, you could say, controversial figure, O.J. Simpson, gone at 76. He died from prostate cancer on Wednesday. His family released a statement saying that he was surrounded by, most importantly, his family, his children, and his grandkids. Right now, they pretty much wanted to keep things private. Even before the timing of his passing, he pretty much knew that his time was coming. He wanted to be surrounded by his family, his children, and et cetera, et cetera. So whoever came to see him in his last days, they were assigned NDA. They were told to give up their phones, and they did sign disclosures specifying that they would not tell what was going on. So he pretty much wanted to keep it private. We all know OJ as an NFL veteran, pro ball, if you will. We've known him as an actor. We've known him as an athlete. We've known him for all those things. But again, we cannot forget that 1995 case that riveted the world. We can't forget that case. Of course, he was pretty much on trial for allegedly killing his ex-wife and her friend, which he was acquitted for. Let's use that word again. He was acquitted. He got the dream team. You feel me? That included the late and great Johnny Cochran. That also included the late and great Mr. Robert Kardashian Sr. Okay? And whoever else was on the team, but we was checking for those two. It had Judge Ito, Kato Kaelin, and a cast of other characters, including the opposing Christopher Darden and Marsha Clark. I mean, come on, that case was a spectacle for all eyes. We seen his bestie at the time, AC Cowling, driving that car, and he's in the bottom of the seat with the gun attached to his head. We know that Ford Bronco, okay? We know all of it. You know, call it what you want, say whatever you want. He was acquitted. He was not charged for that murder. But unfortunately, after that, he didn't lay low for that time. He got in trouble again, which he spent almost, you know, you could say about a good 9 to 10 years in jail for, you know, going up in there trying to steal sports from your back. Didn't work out for him. Pretty much, you could say whatever you want about him, but it is what it is. And fashion icon, his clothes, you hear about it all the time. Mr. Roberto Cavalli, gone at the age of 83. So, yes, you guys know that they do say that death does come in threes, unfortunately, and that is the repetitiveness of that. But yeah, I had to deliver that type of news, so yeah, unfortunately. So, we're going to get into the remaining of Quiet Onset. Okay? So, the last installment of Quiet Onset, of this five-part documentary, okay? The last part of it aired this past Sunday with Soledad O'Brien, who happened to be host. So pretty much it was kind of a wrap up of the series and just kind of you know, just giving an overall view, but also unseen things that did not air on the documentary, and also kind of the aftermath of how did this go, or how did this come up? Not only how did it come up, how did it come, but what message, and with the outpouring of support that each of these cast members got once the camera stopped rolling, if you will. So, with that being said, let's jump right into it. So, of course, another cast member was introduced. That was Shane. Let me make sure I got his name correct. Now, I'm probably fumbling on his name, but if I get it wrong, I will do my due diligence the next episode to bring the right way. He also got to sit down with Soledad and explain his take on what his experience was like being on all that. But yes, we gonna get into that firstly. Okay. So, as y'all know, and this is going to be ongoing, we do know that when it comes to the industry, especially on a whole, that there are a lot of undertakings, but it also comes down to children. When it comes down to children, that's a whole other realm. And when it comes to entertainment that involves children, it's a lot of things you don't get to see. It's a lot of things you don't get to hear. And it's a lot of things that are definitely unspoken, unwritten, and untalked about until things come this way and it's a different blowback. Okay? There's a lot of laws that are not implied, and there's some that kind of get overlooked, swept up under the rug, and it's never heard from again up until there's a blowback. Okay? Now, when it comes to these children shows and children stations that are modeled for children, you thinking, okay, this is all about kids. This is, you know, kid stuff. But when it takes an undertone, and when you watch documentaries like Quiet On Set, when you watch other documentaries about children who are not kids anymore, who grew up and they were children at the time, and to hear the things that they went through, you're like, what? So anyway, when this ties into it, it's a lot. Okay, so pretty much what was stated, Soledad pretty much she went into talking with Drake Bell, and you know, pretty much asking him, like, with this whole with the case that he was, you know, that the case he was a John Doe because he was a minor at the time, how this didn't really get too much of the media. And again, we have to say that Brian Peck was running wild and loose, and he was all up and through the industry. And even though he got I could even say like a slap on the wrist for what he did, he got to work on Disney with the sweet life of Zach and Cody, a whole new station. And he's still running these streets to this day, but he's still trying to lay low. Like, we don't know who you are. So all in all, you know, Drake pretty much let folks know that he's still trying to rebuild his life. He's still dealing with therapy. It was a lot of things that he had to go. He felt when Mary and Emma approached him, you know, because he was called many times to address his story, and he was like, no. And how he picked on, you know, telling his story on Quiet On The Set, he did say that, you know, he trusted them, and it made him, being here and telling his story, it made both of the ladies made him feel very comfortable, very very relaxed in order to speak. It wasn't like he was rushed. It wasn't like he was like, oh my God. No, they just let him talk from his point of view. And if it got a little too, it kind of, you know, he would kind of pull back just a little bit. But they made him feel at ease. Like he was able to relax and just come out and specify his story. Little do people know, and I did find this out while I was watching Alexa Nicholas, because she also has a podcast out. I was watching her podcast last night, and she did give a bit of information that I didn't even know. And she said when anybody that goes through anything sexual, threatful, anything of that sort, it takes the person 50 years. Imagine something traumatic of that multitude happened to you as a kid. And you take that into the very heart of the adolescence, teenage, adult. So the traumatic experience is growing up with you. And at the same time, it comes out if you're pretty much, it comes out in I could say, in abundance. It doesn't come out all at once. You have triggers. You can have PTSD. You can, you know, even go into behaviors of that because of you being, I wouldn't say a prodigy of it, but again, you deal with your own anxieties. You deal with not trusting with people. You deal with not trying to be around people, and you just maneuver and go to other vices. There's the word. You go into other vices until one day you totally snap, or until you release it, or until you seriously, you know, hit, as people like to say, your rock bottom. Or what is rock bottom? Until you hit that brick wall, or not. You take that, unfortunately, to your very grave. Because it's too hurtful. It's too hurtful to say. Because again, if you do come out and say that this happened to you, are you going to be believed? And then again, people like to say, well, why you didn't say anything first? Why you didn't say when it happened? It's not about what you should have said when it went down. It's I'm saying it. And not everybody's going to be like that. And, you know, for anyone that's going through that, you know, for you to come out and have the courage to say it and to kind of, and it's like you're reliving that over and over again. It takes a lot, and it must be a lot. And you wasn't wrong for that happening to you. You didn't ask for that. You didn't warrant that. You were doing whatever you were doing and living life. Nobody has the right to make you feel, to victim shame you, to act like you were wrong in that moment. No, whatever happened to you should have never happened. And at the end of the day, whether you're speaking from it, you're planning your justice. You're planning to make sure that it never happens to anybody else. And you're standing for something. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And sometimes you have to stand and let it be known. Like, nah, I'm taking back. It's not even about taking back your power. It's about having the power within you to know what was done was wrong. And you're going to fight to the death to make sure that wrong is turned right. And that person gets whatever's coming their way. Simple as that. But I never knew that. So that was good. That was very eye-opening for me to hear. And I'm like, whoa, that's heavy. So transitioning from Drake Bell, he's definitely dealt with, he's definitely is he definitely says he had a very good relationship with both of his parents. He said his dad is emotional. I don't like the fact that he says his dad is emotional. No, your dad is passionate. And he has a heart. And he cares about you deeply. I know you know that. But you know, viewers didn't seem the same way about when it pertained to his mother. And I mean, I can't blame them for that. Because at the same time and token, your mom was easily manipulated. And I think she served Drake on a platter to Brian. I'm not even going to hold you on that. Because there's no way, if my ex-husband told me, and this is not something he ever said in his life, told me this, I would have taken into heed what was going on. I would have at least had an inkling. Even if I didn't want to drive him myself, I would have made it my bet. We would have cabbed it. We would have bicycled it. We would have did everything. I would have been like, nah, we good. We good. No, thank you. You can't be easily manipulated that easily. Because you kind of served your child on the platter to this man. Even though your husband, ex, told you not to do that. He said, keep your eyes on him. Do not leave. Do not. And you did not take that. And again, this man knew how to manipulate and maneuver and slide his ass in there like a mumba snake and do what he did. So you can't expect people not to turn a blind eye to that, because that's pretty much what was laid out. And that's pretty much what happened. And unfortunately, it you didn't deserve that. Let's talk about it. No matter the circumstances of what you did, I'm not saying what you're doing and what you did was right, but what happened to you wasn't right either. So, you know, Drake has pretty much taken responsibility for what he did with what he did in previous instances. So hopefully, yeah, definitely. So transitioning from that, she also had Giovanni Samuels and Brian Heron to talk about their experience on the show, and they pretty much summed it up like this. They said that they were on the show with a predominantly white cast, and they were the only two, you could say, of the black persuasion, girl and boy, which you could say that kind of, I'm not saying it pitted them against each other, but there was nobody else of the black persuasion that they could kind of bounce off of. And yeah, that kind of does leave room for a bit of not confrontation, but it doesn't give a moral compass, because at the same time, they have to look around and say, oh gosh. And you know how folks can kind of pit each other together, you know, pit each other against each other for that. And, you know, even with them telling Giovanni, oh, you're too funny, we got to put you in here or fit you in here. So her even saying that she had to, you know, look to them for her to give skits and stuff like that. Like, are you serious? You're working on a show and you're working on a skit show that's supposed to have diversity, that's supposed to be having skits for you, and you're giving them tips? Who does that? I'm not saying that giving tips are not helpful, but they're telling you in layman's terms, you're too funny. Oh, no. You're too funny. How? Because you're black? You're supposed to be funny? What is that about? And, you know, Brian also shared pretty much gave an aha moment, and they also invited his mom as well, Miss Tracy, back, and she pretty much, you know, said that after everything that transpired with him being 13 and up, their relationship was over, not understanding that Tracy knew that from the jump that her son was being typecast, that he was kind of being exited out a little bit. And she pretty much was that parent, like, no, I see what y'all doing. I smell, you know, she smelled bullshit. Let's keep it real. She smelled bullshit because they had him typed as, you know, in one skit. How you selling, okay, first of all, you having him selling cookies like he's the typical drug dealer? Cookies on the corner? What? And then you have him in a Girl Scout uniform. What? I don't know if I seen the boy. Well, there's Boy Scouts clubs. Let's talk about that. But they don't sell cookies. It's usually the girls. I've never seen a Boy Scout sell cookies. I've never seen it. So to me, that didn't make any sense. But then you're typecasting him as drug dealing? Excuse me? Like, nah. She smelled bullshit and all. And I'm not saying she was wrong for voicing her opinion. Not at all. You see some bullshit, you gonna act on it. And she says she's a Leo. So you know what Leos do? They show the claws real quick. They come for the... If they smell some bullshit, they coming for the jugular. And that's just what it is. And that's what she did. As her being a mom, she's protecting her child. She's protecting her cub. In hindsight, no matter the circumstances, because again, like I said, she smelled bullshit. What was she supposed to do? Sit back and be like, eh? And then in one particular skit, when he was supposed to act out a skit as being a baby who started out, you know how babies start out, not baby, but you know they start out. One person mentioned that the covering that he was supposed to have on should have been a little bit darker. He said that he never divulged that to his mom because Miss Tracy would have really talking about burning down the house. Oh, she would have burnt down that whole damn studio, as she should. Because what you're saying to her son is just definitely racist. Not even borderline racist. It's racist. You're telling him that his skin tone is a problem? Like, he's not supposed to be comfortable with his tone? Are you dumb? Of course. So, what channeled them to kind of get back on the road was the documentary and going back to that moment and going back to that aha moment, even though it hurt, but going back to that aha moment and him just realizing that he wasn't to blame. His mom wasn't to blame. It was Nickelodeon to blame. And most importantly, Dan to blame. Because in the documentary, Tracy also said that, you know, Dan kind of side-eyed her son. Kind of was cautious with him because he knew that if he did some bullshit, Tracy would be on that ass. And that's why he was let go. But, you know, in hindsight, he knew, you know, Brian knew that his mom was only trying to do and it was only trying to protect him and shield him from, you know, the stupidity of what you face, you as a the black persuasion face when it comes to the entertainment industry. And not only that, just in the mindset of you going through that at the age that you going through, that you went through, it's a hurtful reminder sometime, and things like that have to be changed in the industry. And also with Giovanni, we know that Giovanni definitely was definitely had hustler status because she also, as you guys may know, she also was on That So Raven on the Disney Channel when she played her cousin, and when Raven played all those people, that whole family, from the baby too. So you also saw Giovanni going back and forth. So she was trying to make her money. And she did say that she did come back on. To do Henry Danger. And out of surprise element, she even said that Dan reached out to her, for, I guess, to kind of give him a little bit of credit to say something nice on his behalf. And Giovanni pretty much turned it down, but she also told Dan that you kind of intimidated me a little bit and, you know, I don't wish to speak. So when it came to diversity, they also had Dan speak on that, because also Dan Schneider did a 19 minute kind of interview with one of the guys from Ned's class or something like that. The dude's name was Tebow. I don't even know his real name. So I just thought right there, for, like I said in my last podcast, I think it was very, it was very, who gives a shit? You're not supposed to get interviewed. The real interview should have been with either, should have been with somebody who's gonna grill your ass and make you be accountable, okay? Because in that interview, you was not at all. You was trying to explain yourself and not understand the whole dynamics of this documentary. You were not getting it at all. You were not trying to get it. You were trying to justify your actions and kind of just roll over the fact like, oh well, if I would have changed a little differently, it would have been like this. But you didn't change shit. And you were a grown ass man, and you did what you did. So it, and at the same time, it's not about you dancing around the issue. It's about you sticking to the facts and owning the fact that you fucked up, that you did, that you pulled some nonsense, and that you need to be held accountable. Because these children, these not children anymore, but these adults who were children, you left an indelible stain. Okay, stain, if you will, on their childhood lives, which channeled into them growing up. And their experience with you was deplorable. It was horrible. It was unwarranted. And it was unnecessary. It was not needed. And who the hell do you think you are? Are you kidding me? Every one of these adults that were children at the time came and said something of and had their own experience with you. And it wasn't a 10 for 10, honey. It was a negative, disgusting, out of this world box. And it's like everybody had their own experience. And we're not going to sit and we're not going to act like they experienced different things in the same space. Not at the same time, whether it was in 1996, 2000 and something, it happened in the same space. It's just the years went by and it kept going and going and going. And it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm sorry for the long pause. It's crazy, but I'm here. Okay. Aside from that, he said that he had diversity on the show. Excuse me. No, you didn't. Let's take it all the way back to the beginning of all of that. Let's take it back. First of all, you had Keenan and Kel. Okay. You also had Angelique Bates, who was the very first, you could say the first black woman, the first black lady of persuasion on that show, on all that. And she was very funny. And she's been sounding the alarm on your ass from the very beginning. Because she spoke out a multitude of times and specified that she was blackballed. No one gave a crap. That's called, in the industry of entertainment itself and the internet, saying that she lied about her experience on the show. And she did not have, and she was not lying at all. She had nothing to lie about. She had to wear this disgust on her for how long before she was not, I wouldn't even say taken into consideration. And she never changed her story. Not one goddamn time. Not one damn time. And for her to be around, it's truly life within itself of a stroke of a blessing. Because hearing her story, not only in the thing that she did, I forgot the name of it, hearing her story and what she went through, I'm like, whoa. She had to change. She wanted, people said that she had to be skinnier, which she was already skinny. Okay. Then they said she had to change her melanin to be brighter. She says that she almost lost her life by downing. She wanted to get out of here. It was her best friend that saved her. What? She said that she dealt with domestic abuse and violence, and she also dealt with the R word. It was a plethora of things. But again, she's always told her story the right way. She said that she also had to deal with nonsense with Dan about she already had qualms with someone on the cast, and for them to continuously spit milk at her, she snapped it on it, snapped on it, okay, ripped a new one, okay, and he had the nerve to get mad at her, cursing her out, saying all types of things. A guest director at the time had to get involved. It was all over the PA system, at the studio, on the show itself. Are you kidding me? Angelique was funny. Very funny. They said, she even specified that she got the most mail, and they had to downplay it because they wanted to make sure that other people on the show shined. Okay. 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 Everybody is going to shine, but if the audience gravitates to one person, that doesn't mean that everybody on the cast ain't funny. It's just a little something they see in that person that it's a little something, a bit they see in that person, because that person is a little bit, I wouldn't say extra. It's just that they have a little, they got a little something special, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that there's kids that got that something, because I'm not going to hold you, not trying to be funny, with these three. And it kind of felt like, okay, you have three people of the Black persuasion on a television show for children. You're pitting them against each other. If you had maybe a little bit more of the Black persuasion, I would give you like 5 or 6 or something. It kind of pans out a little bit, because you got 2 girls representing. You got 4 boys representing. And I'm not going to say that y'all didn't kind of put Keenan and Kel pitted against each other, because not trying to be funny, Kel bought more of the laughs because Kel did more of the physical timing, if you know what I mean. I mean, Keenan was funny here and there, but sometimes the jokes didn't land. I'm not saying he was not funny, like, ha, ha, bust a gut. His jokes would kind of land, and then you'd be like, ugh. But Kel had more of the physicalness of the aspect of laughter, because he just go, you were like, oh my God. And when he would kind of fall out and you know, bust the wall or something crazy, you'd be like, I know he just did not do that. That was more the physical aspect. Okay. So again, for him to say that he had, no, you didn't. And then let's fast forward. Now, Keenan and Kel were popping off big time. So they weren't on all that too much. Angelique, we did not know at the time that she was off the show back in 95. Because she only did like maybe 3 seasons on the show, so we didn't know what the hell really happened by 96. We didn't know that. Okay, so you bring in Christy Knowlings and Leon Frierson. That's a girl and a boy. Where's the diverse? Okay, then in laterness on all that, because I don't know what happened with, I think Leon stayed on for about maybe 3 seasons and that was it. Christy Knowlings, we don't know what happened to her. Hopefully, you know, when her time is ready and she wants to say anything, it'll be her time to speak. You know what I'm saying? So, again, everybody has their time when they feel that they're ready, or whenever they're ready on their time, that they will, like, you know, they would say something or drop a hint or whatever the case may be. We're waiting for it. So, moving in that direction. Now, later, when all that gets resurrected again. Now you have Brian and Giovanni. Here we go again. So again, the lack of diversity, you can't say, well, I jump-started the careers of Keenan and Kel. No, you didn't. They did that. They went on because they got, you could say, bigger. But again, it was kind of, y'all kind of pit Keenan and Kel against each other, which I think they got sick of down the road. You know, Keenan said that he was kind of getting a little bit, you know, a little bit with the Keenan and Kel thing. I'm not sure what Kel's thoughts were on there, because Kel was definitely a little bit more in the physical aspect of comedy, and I think he was definitely more funnier than Keenan. That's just my take on that. Others may feel differently, but it is what it is. So, you know, let's talk about it. Also, the same situation that happened where milk was being spit on, and Angelique flipped about that being that. The same thing happened to Raquel Lee Ballou on the Amanda show. There was a skit that her, Amanda, I think Drake, and someone else was participating in, and the water kept being spit directly into Raquel's face. Now, the director seen that Raquel was getting furious, because again, you got water being spit into her face. That's makeup she got to get retouched, and her hair. So the director seen that she was getting pissed off. So he took her to the side and explained to her that, okay, I see that you're getting upset, but you have to understand that this is the show. This is her show. So, you know, it goes without saying. So you're telling someone that they have to resort to this kind of behavior because you're not the star of the show. So you must be treated to this. And again, when it was put that way, you know, Brian definitely felt a way about that, because that was pretty much telling her that you don't matter, who gives a damn, and that's that. His mother flat out said that's racist. Flat out said it without question. Without question. But I hate to kind of run. I do have to stop this a little bit. Damn, it was just getting good. But I'm going to get the other part. Well, I'm not going to get the other part. I'm going to continue where I left off at with my other part tomorrow. And I'm going to give you my finishing result of Quiet on the Set. So, yeah, I got a jet at this point. I do apologize, you guys. I'm so sorry. But I'm going to continue the rest of this tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. So until then, you guys stay safe. Gotta run. Later.